The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Did this at the earliest service too. You know, if you sit in the front row, I'll go back up to the pulpit. But if you go back a few, then I'm coming to you. Have you ever been welcomed? I mean, really, truly welcomed, made to feel like a dignitary or a VIP? Or on the other side, have you ever been a welcoming party and then been told later how wonderful it was to receive the welcome that you gave and the friendship and the warmth that you extended? Well, I will never forget the first time I went to my husband's extended family in the small hometown of Graceville, Minnesota. James and I had just recently been engaged, and it was the first summer that he was unable to go back to Minnesota. That's also where I'm from. And so he was hoping I would go. I would take that six-hour drive out into the country and meet his family on that beautiful place, the Gibson Farm, where he has felt the most loved and welcomed himself. So I was a little nervous about meeting the whole family. But my dad and I went. We drove out there together, and oh my goodness, the welcome we received. His grandparents, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, the extended family, even the sheepdog, all came out in a big mass and welcomed my dad and I as we stepped out of the car. Immediately, they were joking with us, talking to us like we were old friends, including us in stories already, giving me a lot of dirt on James. That was fun. And then we said, well, okay, well, later on, we're going to go and find a motel to stay in. And they said, oh, no, 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 you will stay here. Three little rooms. You will stay here on the farm with us because you are one of us. And all that time, of course, there was that family feast being prepared. I'll never forget this either. I don't know how they did it. It is a small house. And there from the kitchen into the dining room and the living room, table upon table and chairs were produced. I don't know where they all came from. And it reminded me exactly of the end of the movie where the Grinch stole Christmas, right? The cartoon version, where the tables start extending and weaving down all the way down to little Cindy Lou who was only just two. Remember that part? It was just like that. What a welcome we received. It was red carpet Minnesota style. I thought I was getting special treatment, being the new in-law in the family, only to find out later that everyone gets greeted like that on the family Gibson farm. That's the kind of welcome that Jesus is talking about. It's a welcome with abandon. It's a welcome like you are a part of the family the moment you arrive. It's a welcome with no worry about what might be received back. Because Jesus is way into welcome. We have all sorts of mandates of welcome from Jesus throughout all of the Gospels. And today we have a little bit of a different kind of story of welcome. Jesus is talking about to his disciples as he has been sending them out in the mini commission, right in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew. He sends out his disciples and says, go out there and preach the good news that I am here, that God is among us. Tell them about the inclusion that comes, that everyone is welcome. And go out there and heal the sick, and feed the hungry, and cast out the demons, and raise the dead? And the master, he said, but realize this, that as you go out and you preach this good news, that God is here among us, that there is enough for all and everyone is included, be aware there are some who will be angry. Some will say no. Some will say you have gone too far. You are my territory. Back off. And this good news, and it is just good news, but this good news of Jesus Christ will bring anger. It can bring division. Some will receive it and some will hate you, Jesus warns. But in today, he says, but some will receive it. Some, when they hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that God is for you, God is with you, that there is enough love and inclusion and joy and abundance for all, some will say yes. And they will receive this word like cool, refreshing water to a parched soul. And when they receive it, when they welcome you, they're welcoming me, Jesus says. We have similar passages to this one in the other similar Gospels. We call Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call them synoptic or similar, alongside with Gospels. But that's a little bit different in those. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and they're talking about who's the greatest and who isn't, who gets to be first in the kingdom of God. And then that one, Jesus pulls in a child and says, right here. Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And not just me, but the one who sent me, because the least among you is the greatest. And we, with our Western ears in this era and time, have to remember any time we heard the word child, we were not hearing beloved child who's pampered from birth, right? No. We're hearing castaway. Whoever takes this castaway person that has no value in your society and welcomes that one, you're welcoming me. And not just me, but the one who sent me, Jesus says, for me, the ones who value the least in your world, they're the ones I value the most. I like to think of this as a theology of welcome. Our primary purpose being to look at everyone as if they were Christ. And welcome them as if Christ was right here among us. If we could make that our primary focus, God will take it from there. Why do we do it? Why should we welcome others as Christ has welcomed us? It's pretty simple, right? Why? Jesus told us to. And just as we heard today in the letter to the church in Rome, we have voluntarily become slaves of righteousness. That's how you become a voluntary slave. But anyway, we are servants of righteousness. We're servants of God, right? We're servants of Jesus. And Jesus said, welcome. Do it. It might be hard, but do it. We understand then that welcoming is divine. In this gospel, in the Gospel of Matthew, towards the end, in Matthew 25, when things are really heating up, Jesus knows he's about to be killed, right? He talks to his followers about the final judgment and the righteous and those who think they're righteous. And he says, at the final judgment, the ones on the right will say, welcome. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Welcoming is divine. We get it. How many times can you say that word welcome in a sermon? We're getting a little tired of it, huh? And hey, okay, we get it. We're supposed to welcome as Christ welcomed us, but you know what? It's hard. Sometimes that group we are supposed to reach out to and bring in is just too different from us. All of us have our limits, okay? It's a fact. If we don't think we do, if we think we're without prejudice, we're lying. We have it in us. We'll try, but we will fail. What are we supposed to do about that? How are we supposed to be able to do this when we just don't have it in ourselves to extend that welcome? Did you know that the church became imperfect as soon as humans entered it? Did you know that God chooses to use the church anyway? God knows this about us. God knows that any time we try to be and do as God would have us do, that we bring ourselves into the mix. We bring in our backgrounds. We bring in our culture. We bring in the presumptions that we have never questioned. Right? We bring in our modern politics. We bring in all of these things into the mix. God knows that already. And God loves us and uses us anyway. Thanks be to God, the only thing we ever have to do is try. To God, and we know this to be a spiritual truth, the intention is what matters. Just try. That simple trying is really a step of faith that God, you're going to pick up the slack filling the pieces I can't. But what if it goes even a little bit beyond that? What if you just can't do the welcome or even try to because you just are so depleted yourself? Well, that, my friends, is where we begin. Do you know how much God loves you? Did you know that you are God's favorite? You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You are God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. Chuck, you too. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You are God's favorite. You're God's favorite. It's take a while. God's favorite, you, yes, you are God's favorite. That's just how big, how grand, how expansive, how infinite God's love is. Lynn, you too, you're God's favorite too. Lavish in this. Allow God to love you and fill you up. If you really have a hard time with that, well then, come to me, Pastor David, another person you trust, and say, pray with me. I just can't believe God loves me. Or I'm mad. I have this barrier in the way. I want to receive God's love. I don't know how. Start there. Right there. Start there. Let God heal you. When God starts to fill us up with that divine love, it just naturally spills out. We've experienced the grace. We've experienced the forgiveness. We've experienced the goodness. We had God meet a need that we thought would be impossible to meet, whatever that may be. Ah, now God, I can trust you enough to take that step out and begin to love and welcome others. We can't do that on our own. We're not supposed to do it on our own. We get it first from God. But oh, the exciting things that God will open up for us as we set our intention on welcome. The new worlds and horizons that might come up, the new opportunities for ministry and growth and excitement. Will it be easy? Maybe not. Will it be good? Yes. Will it be divine? Absolutely. Ultimately, it will give us joy. when I think about living out that theology of welcome, that intention of welcome, I keep thinking about my mom in the last couple of years of her life. My mom was she's with Jesus now, a very strong evangelical Christian, very strong in her desire to witness to others. And she and my dad, in the final couple of years of their life, they seemed to find this niche that fit them so perfectly. It's called the English Club. So they would, it was a Christian group that would gather together and then find a place at a local university and invite the international students to come to practice English. That was kind of the purpose of it. But it became about food and fellowship and fun and outings. And my mom loved it so much because she got to prepare all the food and go and serve it and then sit down with these international students, most of whom were from the Middle East, and play games and talk to them and get to know them. When she first started out, it was about making sure that they knew who Jesus was. That was the number one concern. Over time, she got to know them, and she loved them. And she got to know who they were. They were no longer a blanket group of people. They were these individuals. Did she share her love of Jesus with them? Yes, absolutely. We do that, right? We are unapologetically Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ. But over time, it became what would meet their needs. How could she pray for them? How could she share with them her experience, strength, and hope that she's received from God? And how can she listen to how they were experiencing that strength and hope from their faith tradition as well? It became reciprocal, give and take. At her funeral, the night before her funeral and also for the reception, there was a young woman in attendance. She was from Saudi Arabia. She wore her headscarf, a hijab. She was Muslim. And she stayed the entirety of the time because she loved my mom. And she mourned with us as a woman as if she lost her own mother. And she told us time and time again how she had never received the kind of love and welcome and care as she had received from my mom. She gave me the strength I needed to make it through those really tough days. But really, it wasn't that dissimilar to what happened about a year previous to that on Easter Sunday, when another one of my parents' friends, also from the English Club, a woman from Iran, came over on Easter Sunday and made my parents' Easter Sunday dinner because my mom was too sick to cook. They told me that story in a sort of flippant way, like, of course she would be coming and doing that. And I'm like, okay, hold on a moment. You're having a Muslim come over and cook the meal that is the representation of the resurrection of our Lord. I don't think it was ham, though. That's where that friendship and welcome and love led. Deep love. That, my friends, is divine. This past week, we had 43 kids here, most of whom were not from our congregation. If you came a little early, did you see the middle service getting out? It was full of families from our day camp. It was so wonderful. So we had a bunch of kids here from our community and our neighborhood, some from our preschool, our music and arts program, and of course from our own congregation, a whole lot of youth help, and a wonderful volunteer. I want to say thank you to everyone for your donations, for your behind-the-scenes work, for sending kids and grandkids. We had a couple of great grandchildren of the congregation here, too. It was just a blast. And this whole campus was full of music and games and stories about God's love. All these activities and crafts, new friendships. God was present. Over here we have over 300 items that are going to go to Interfaith that we raised this week. Cards to give out for our homebound members. Their prayer blankets that were crafted. All sorts of wonderful things took place. This place was truly a place of welcome. We have more opportunities for welcoming coming up. As you know, this Tuesday is the And we will have what right out here? Fireworks! Well, we won't do a fireworks ourselves. That would be a real hazard. But we can see the San Marcos fireworks as if they're just plain to see. Probably the best viewing place ever. And then we can also see the Escondido fireworks from here. So we have a chance to welcome. I brought my prop. If you would be so kind, if anyone would wear your God's Work Our Hands t-shirt or any other shirt that might identify you as a person from San Marcos Lutheran, or just show up and have fun. But we will be serving hot dogs. We'll give away glow sticks. We have games and everything. Come at 6 to help set up, if you like. 7 o'clock, all the themes and things begin. And I'm pretty sure the fireworks are at 9, so there are lots of time. All of that, though, to intentionally welcome people onto our property and say, hey, let's get to know you. We're so glad you're here. God's Work Our Hands is coming up on the 20th. If you know anyone who would like to be involved in doing good in the community, but they don't know how, maybe they're not connected to a larger organization, bring them along. From little kids to people who can't walk very far, we'll have projects for everyone. And everything we do benefits the larger community. Great way to welcome people to come and just try something here in this church. If they like what they're doing, they'll feel right at home immediately. Of course, we'll have our welcome home on September 10th. That's our big Sunday. And a week before that, on the 2nd, Saturday the 2nd, we will reach out into our neighborhood again. Get to know our neighbors, see what their prayer requests are, try to meet their needs, and welcome them here as Christ has welcomed us. Every Sunday we have visitors here. We welcome them as well as Christ coming in their midst. We can do this together, not on our own, but with the divine inspiration of God. We set our intention on welcome. Gets me so excited. Makes me want to sing.